Spirit and its inner working in your life, take that book. It's very practical. It's not very heady. He wrote it in such a way that everybody can understand it. And if I can understand it, I know you can understand it. So Psalms 119, verse 18. It's a simple prayer. It says this: open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Very simple. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Notice he didn't say, open my eyes to read your law, or even to understand your law. The author asked for something we rarely think about when we open the Word. He wasn't talking about his physical eyes. He was talking about the eyes of his heart, the eyes of the Spirit, the eyes of your spirit. The process of seeing spiritual things through the eyes of the heart and not just the mind is called revelation. Whenever you're reading the Word, you're not just accumulating facts. You see, the Bible isn't a Bible of suggestions and good stories and mythical tales of people being swallowed by fish and the flood ravaging the whole world and a guy called Noah that escaped it and built this crazy ark that was so huge that it housed, you know, animals of every type from every place in the world. It's not a book that's filled with just suggestions and happy stories and moving events in the Bible. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is the greatest piece of literature that has ever been written or ever will be written in the history of the world. The Word of God is not something that we can just hope will work for us. The Word of God, the Bible says, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It goes to the very depths and center of who we are, the Word of God. But so many times, we open up the Bible and we read it casually, as if to say that we're not going to get anything at all, but we're going to appease our conscience and we're going to read it for a little while. But the thing about it is that revelation can only come by the way of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can truly get something out of the Word of God is be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Because the Bible isn't just a natural flow of literature. It's a natural flow of the Spirit directed by the Holy Spirit. It's the very words of God directed by the Spirit of God to not just speak to your intellect, but to speak to the very soul of who you are. And where we get in trouble is whenever we begin to read the Word with our eyes and not consume it with our spirit. Because the Word is spirit. So if the Word is spirit, we cannot begin to think that we can process it mentally only. Yes, God gave us a mind. As a believer, we're not to check our minds and our intellect at the door when we receive Christ. Quite the contrary. But we are not supposed to rationalize the things of God with our mind only, but we are to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of what we just read. How many of you guys have ever, you read the Word of God, you read a certain scripture so many times, but one time it catches you and it brings revelation. You're like, whoa, I've read this 1,000 times, but that's the first time that it ever revelated and clicked with me in my spirit. That's not just some mental ascent that just happened in your life. That is something that the Holy Spirit has spoken directly to your spirit that has not only made you understand it, understand it, but has also caused you to be transformed by the reading of his word. Now, John 14, and Randy, this is something that I got this morning, so don't go looking through the list. It just come to me this morning. But John 14, verse 25, and let me prove to you that it is by the Holy Spirit that we are to get anything out of the word of God. This is Jesus' words, not mine, not the disciples, not any other author. This is Jesus' words. John 14, 25 and 26. Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Listen to that. Listen to this, verse 26. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So we know that even Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to come as your counselor to teach you all things and to remind you of my teachings and of my words. Psalms 119 verse 12 says this, "Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees." In other words, he is saying, I don't want to just read your word. I want to understand your word. He realizes that he cannot do it on his own. Too many of us pick up the Bible and read it like we're reading the New York Times or People magazine. We flip through the pages and we see things, familiar scripture, so we read it there. And we say, that's nice, that's good. And we know the facts about the Bible. We know the facts about John 3:16. We know the facts about redemption. We know the fact about the Romans' road to salvation. We know about the Passover. We know about the sacrificial lamb. We know about this and that and the other. We know the way of and the truth and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him, through Jesus. We know all of those things. We have as a country, as Americans, we are full of factual statistics running through our head. Don't let the Word of God just be one of those factual statistics that just run through your head and has mental assent only. Read the Word of God through the Spirit of God, and it will revelate into your life, and it will transfer from fact to revelation. Amen? Because facts inform you. It's good to know facts. All right? Know the facts. Read and study directions. Know the facts. But don't stop there. But truth transforms. And the only way that you get from fact to truth is by the Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to your innermost spirit and being. That when we crack open the Word, we should do this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you reveal to me, revelate your Word so that I'm transformed, so that I'm transformed from fact to truth. Truth transforms. Truth we can apply to our life. Amen? The truth is, Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. That's not just fact, that's truth. And when we get into the realm from fact to truth, we're transformed, we're liberated, because we're walking in the truth. So many of us know facts, but we're not walking in factual statistics in our life. We're walking in the truth of God's Word. And the only way that we can know the way, the truth, and the life is through revelation and through His truth transforming in us. Amen? Now, I want to tell you a story about the golden calf incident. How many of you guys have ever heard about the golden calf in the Old Testament? Crazy, crazy story. We see in Exodus 19, the children of Israel has been, and this is not in there, Randy, either. This, I got this last night, so. But the children of Israel, they were in the desert for 3 months at this point, had just saw the sea split. and them walking across dry ground, they saw the mighty hand of God working on them. They saw quail coming down and manna coming down from heaven. And God wanted to do this. He wanted to make a grand entrance. They had been without God for 400 years in captivity in Egypt. And God wanted to make a grand entrance to his people. So he told Moses, he said, "Moses, come up to Mount Sinai with me just for a minute. I want to talk to you." So Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and we see in Exodus 19:5, God says this to Moses. He says, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," this is a beautiful promise. Listen to this. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Wow. You know, when God promises something, he does it big, doesn't he? Sometimes when we make promises, we just hope we can keep it. We're hoping we can come through. How many of you guys ever failed at your promises before? Go ahead, it's okay. We're in church. I failed. I tried hard to keep some promises, but my kids let me know right off the bat, you promised. You promised, Dad. But when God promises something to his children, you can take it to the bank. Amen? When God promises something, when he says in Exodus 19, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Then God told Moses to have all the people to gather around the foot of Mount Sinai. This was God's big meet and greet, all right? He had been away from the nation for 400 years. They'd been in captivity. And afterwards, he called Moses up to give him a handwritten copy of the Ten Commandments. So here's the situation. God calls Moses up and he says, "Look, if you obey tell my people if they obey my covenants fully, they'll be my most prized possession." And then even though everything else in this world is mine, you will be a nation of priests and a holy nation. And then he told Moses, he said, "I want you to gather everybody around this Mount Sinai. Tell them to stay back a certain distance." And the Bible describes God coming down. He said, "I want to meet my people, so gather them around." And the Bible describes God coming down in this massive, colossal, huge cloud with thunder and lightning. And he spoke to his people, and he gave them the commandments, the Ten Commandments. He verbalized it to his people. And then after it was over, he called Moses up again to Mount Sinai, and he wanted to give Moses a handwritten copy of the Ten Commandments. He wrote it with his own fingers, his own hand, and he put it down on tablets so that the people could have something tangible to read them, to read the heart of God. But at the same time, there was something else going on up there while Moses was up there getting this hard copy of the Ten Commandments. The children of Israel came to Aaron. They said, "Man, Moses, he's been up there a long time. Last time it wasn't that long. And I'm a little concerned. I don't know what happened to this." They called him this man Moses. So right off the bat, they're showing disrespect to the person that helped lead them out of captivity. They said, "We don't know what has happened of this guy named Moses. Come on. I mean, that's just total disrespect." And so they said, "Aaron, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's build something tangible that we can worship. And let's say that this God is the God that led us out of captivity, out of Egypt." What a slap in the face to God. And you would think that Aaron would say, no. He said, "Hey, bring the spoils that you took when you were leading out of Egypt, when you were going out of Egypt. Take the spoils, all the gold, bring it to me, and I'll make a calf. And we'll, not only will we make a calf, but we'll put an altar right there, and we'll start sacrificing stuff. And not only will we do that, we're going to have a party. So big of a party that they went into wild fits and dancing and drunkenness and lewdness and sexual immorality and everything else. And Moses came down from the mountain and he saw all this stuff. Now, let's remember, this is only 24 hours after God had came down from Mount Sinai and spoke to his people directly. My case in point is this. They had facts about who God was, but they had not revelation of who he was. And their facts could not sustain their morality. It was only the truth and the Spirit's leading that causes anybody to stand for the cause of Christ. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen? The jails are full of people that know the facts about the Bible. Would put me to shame and you to shame. I remember sitting in jail with one of my step uncles one time. I didn't know he was in there, and he was in there, had his back turned toward me. And I said, "What are you doing in here?" And he said, "Oh, I got in a fight." And I said, "Well, can I talk to you about the Lord?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "Let's talk about so-and-so chapter. Let's talk about this verse. Let's talk about..." And this verse said this. And he took over the whole conversation. And I'm going, here this man is. He knows the book from front to back. He has the facts about the Word. He has the facts about Jesus. But he denies the power thereof. He is not allowed the truth to revelate his life because he has not let the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation to light of what the Word of God says toward him. Facts can never sustain a moral person. It can never stand. It can never sustain morality in your life. It's only through the power and revelation of the Holy Spirit that we are sustained in this life. Can I get a witness? It's not our facts. It's not how much we know. It's about who we know. Amen? Now, if we repeatedly read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, it tends to do something that it reinforces our bias and our prejudice. I remember I had just gotten saved, and I called in the ministry, didn't know much of nothing. And I was talking to a buddy of mine on the phone, and we were talking a three-way, there's three people on the phone. And this other person was a Baptist, and I was Assembly of God, and I didn't know what the difference was. I didn't know. And so, and the other friend of mine wasn't a believer at all. And I was just 18 years old. And so this other person that was the Baptist persuasion was trying to tell me that speaking in tongues wasn't real and the prophetic and all this stuff. And I'm going, there's stuff about salvation and redemption and stuff like that and all these different things. And we're arguing back and forth. And this guy, this unbeliever is going, "Hey, what the heck are you talking about?" And it hit me right there that sometimes we're so caught up on our own bias about the Bible that we lose the truth and the revelation of the Word of God. And I had to stop and apologize to him and say, "You know what? I'm not even sure. I don't know." I said, "But one thing that I do know. Let me get back to the one thing that I do know." And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "I know that according to John 3:16, that's the verse that I knew. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And he said, "Now that makes sense." And you see, so many times we use the Word of God not to bring revelation to our spirits, but to prove our own bias, to prove our own truth, to prove our own doctrinal statement on our walls. Jesus is not about doctrine. He doesn't fit into any perfect doctrinal molds. When God made Jesus, I mean, he broke the mold. I mean, simply as that. There's no other. Will be no other. And so when you have revelation like that, it touches people's lives. And I get caught up in it too sometimes. You know, I think of other people that are stuck in a wrong religion and a false doctrine, and you wanna prove your point. But the thing is, you know, I always welcome in, not Seventh-day Adventists, but the Watchtower people, Jehovah's Witness. I always invite them into the house, or I'll stop them if I'm cutting my yard. It never fails. They walk up. They ride up on their bicycles and they talk to me, and I realized this whole time, and I told them, I said, you know what? You're not going to convince me, and I'm not going to convince you. And he said, why is that? And I said, because you have a bias of me already. And I said, all you want to do is you want to prove your bias, and you want me to wrap my life around that bias, around your opinion. And I said, and I'm not going to do that. And I said, now, if you want to talk about Jesus, if you want to talk about his blood, if you want to talk about his redemption, if you want to talk about his lordship, if you want to talk about his forgiveness, if you want to talk about how wonderful and great and mighty and awesome Jesus is, then man, I'm all ears. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him. And see, until we get a revelation of Jesus, until the Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to the innermost part of us, that not only changes our intellect, but changes the way we think, the way we fashion our words, the way we talk, the way we move, our attitude, everything about us is completely changed when we ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of the Word of God into our lives. Because until then, all we're going to do is prove our bias. All we're going to do is get more ammunition to prove that we're right and they're wrong. And Jesus is in none of that. Amen? Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, all the Pharisees wanted to do was to prove him wrong. They never wanted to sit and listen. They never wanted to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, they were wrapped up into their own bias. I mean, the Pharisees didn't start out bad. Their main goal was to interpret the law so that people would know God better. There's nothing wrong with that. But whenever they began to become biased, whenever they began to add to what God had spoken, rules and regulations that were not in the Ten Commandments, that were not in the law, then they lost Jesus. They lost the whole meaning of the word because they were so stuck in their rules and their regulations that they did not realize that the King of Glory was teaching in their midst. They missed it. They missed the way and the truth and the life. They missed the very person that they're supposed to be explaining to the people about. You see, they had a mental ascent of what Jesus was supposed to be like. He wasn't supposed to be born in a manger. He wasn't supposed to be born in a lowly state. He was supposed to be born in political power to redeem the children of Israel from the thumb of the Roman Empire. He was supposed to be mighty. He was supposed to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, buff and like Rambo with the thing around his head and the M16s. He was supposed to be mighty to save. He was supposed to come and to save the children of Israel from the tyranny of the Romans. But God had other plans. And he said to these guys, this temple is going to be destroyed. Not one brick, not one stone will be left on each other. It will completely be obliterated. Now, When you say that to the religious muckety mucks back in those days, you're gonna get killed. You know why? Because that's their livelihood. That's how they make their money. That's how the center of Israel is the temple. Everything is constructed around it. And so when you're talking about destroying something that will destroy their livelihood, yeah, they get upset about that. But what they didn't realize is he wasn't talking about brick and mortar. He was talking about establishing his kingdom on earth. He was talking about his shed blood, talking about raising up a royal priesthood, a holy nation that would sing forth the praises of him who have called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? That's what Revelation will do. Don't get so caught up in your bias. Don't get caught up in frivolous arguments that lead to nothing, that lead to confusion, like the argument that I had with another believer, with a non-believer on the other line listening and confused. Don't be like me and do that. But if they want to talk about Jesus, if they want to talk about his redemptive blood, if they want to talk about how wonderful and great he is, then engage in that conversation. Don't engage in doctrine. Engage in Jesus. Amen? And allow him to engage you. Because when the Holy Spirit engages you, he transforms you. He transforms the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. Amen? Now, when we pick up the Bible and we don't ask the Holy Spirit to help, it's like saying, God, do a new thing in me, but I'm not going to change anything I believe. That's pretty much what we're saying. God, do a new thing in me, Lord, if you can. But don't do anything that goes against what my mom had taught me, what I saw in church, what I grew up in. Don't do anything that's going to challenge my thinking, Lord. Don't do anything that's going to check me in my spirit. Don't do anything that's going to cause me to have to literally change my entire life to conform to your word. But do a new thing in me, Lord. Now, how ridiculous is that? How dumb is that? But that's what we're saying when we open up the Bible and we don't ask for the Spirit's help to bring revelation to our spirit. We are only assenting mentally when we read just casually. But when we crack open this book, this holy book, realize that there's transforming power in it. There's an answer for every situation in your life written in this book. There's hope for you. There's peace for you. There's abundance for you. There's rest for you. There's healing and transformation for you. Not just somebody else. For you. Say for me. For me. Now, William Law, an 18th century English devotional writer, he said this. He said, thousands stand ready to split doctrinal hairs and instruct others in the fine meaning of scriptural words, but there are so few through whom the Holy Spirit can work to bring people to new birth in the kingdom of God. Isn't that so true? We're lined up to say, it's the Baptist way. It's the Presbyterian way. It's the Catholic way. If you don't kneel and bow, and if you don't do the thing, or if you don't, it's the Presbyterian way. It's the Assembly of God way. It's none of those things, because Jesus didn't say, hey, start an Assembly of God church. He didn't say start a Baptist church. He didn't say start a Catholic church. But what he did say was that if we focused on him and him alone, he would transform us. We spend way too much time defending our doctrinal backgrounds than we do persuading people to follow the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? It's important, the Bible says, to study, to show yourself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, but that can rightly divide the word of truth. You know who he was talking about? He was talking to you. He was talking to me. You know why? He tells us to do these things, to study, to show ourselves approved. Because he knows that if you study the way, the truth, and the life. If you study to show yourself approved, when people come hurting your way, you'll know how to point them to Him. Not your doctrinal statement, not your doctrinal creed, not your church, but you will be equipped to point them to Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Isn't that what church is all about? Isn't that what Christianity is all about anyway? It isn't about our own screwed up world. How many of you guys have screwed up worlds? I know sometimes I do. It's not about that. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, don't think it's strange that you're going through some kind of crazy trouble. Don't think it's strange that you feel broken and you don't want to cry out to me anymore. Don't think it's strange that you're hurting, that you're in lack. Don't think it's something strange that you're going through something so painful that it's almost unto death. Don't feel that it's something strange. It's going to happen. But Jesus said, if you will concentrate upon me, if you will believe my word above your circumstances, if you will trust me in the storm of your life, I will bring you through on the other side because I promised I would. And as you study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth, when people come and they see that you have come out on the other side victorious, when it should have killed you, when it should have destroyed you, when it should have brought you to ruin in your life, and all of a sudden they see you whistling at work, they see you with a smile on your face, they don't see you with a grimace anymore, they don't see depression all over you anymore, but you have chosen deliberately to serve the Lord faithfully. It's only then that brings revelation into other people's lives. Doctrinal statements do not bring revelation. Jesus does. Amen? Go ahead. That's all right. The Bible says that there's too many teachers, but not enough fathers. A teacher can teach you something, and whether you get it or not, In college, I had 500 people in my class one time. That teacher didn't know my name. He didn't even know I existed. He taught and he left. But it was Jesus that became my father. You see, until somebody is your father, until the Lord is your father, you'll never know the safety in the arms of Jesus. Until you know the Father, until that's become revelation in your life, until it has become healing over your broken spirit, it'll never be revelation, ever. It'll only be a mental ascent. And that can never, ever sustain morality in your life. Never. It's only through knowing Jesus, period. Often we, like I said before, often we get a definition for important things not by what the Spirit shows us in Scripture, but what we saw growing up in church. I'm so glad that whenever I grew up, I rarely went to church because we just were not very religious people until my dad got saved. But I didn't know the difference between any denomination or any. I thought everybody believed the same thing. But I know that's not truth. And I know that some of us that grow up in Christian homes, they believe what they have seen in church, but not what they've read in the Word. And what you see in church and what you read in the Word can be completely different things, can be a completely different dynamic. That's why we are to study to show ourselves approved. Don't take any man's word for it. Don't just take my word for it. Study it. Get the CDs. Play it again. Open up the Bible and see if I'm speaking the truth to you. Because I'm going to tell you, if you got a statement, a bank statement in the mail that said that you're overdrawn, you're going to go through your records and search out why you're overdrawn, aren't you? You're going to find every penny, where it went. You're gonna try to find what, okay, where did I go wrong? What did I write it wrong? And you'll go through them all. It's just like we're going through a loan process, and they want all kinds of information from every way and every, you know. So Dana, she was searching out our bank statements from the last 6 months, and we have to know all of this stuff in order to get the loan. And so it is with the Word of God too. We've got to study. Don't take any man's word for it. Study it yourself. Get the CDs. Let it seep into your spirit. Open up the Word of God. Search out the Scriptures for yourself. And let it become revelation to your life. Amen? Don't just listen to what I say. Search it out for yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit, when you're in the quiet place in your home, right before you go to bed, or when you get up before you go to work in the morning, you open up that Bible, you stick that CD in, and you say, Holy Spirit, bring revelation to my life. And I promise you, He will bring revelation. Amen? It's not just my promise, it's His promise. Jesus said it Himself. He said, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He said, so don't worry about forgetting. I'm sending you a teacher. He's called the Holy Spirit, and He's going to remind you of my words. He's going to bring you revelation when you forget. He's going to bring you power when you're weak. He's going to bring understanding when you are confused. He's going to bring you love and compassion and forgiveness when you feel at your weakest. Jesus didn't leave this world and left us powerless. He sent the Holy Spirit so that we would have revelation, that we would be walking not in mental ascent, but in power of the Spirit. Amen? To be walking in the power of the Spirit. Lastly, Paul wrote this. He said, no eye has seen, in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love Him. And you know what? He says, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. When God reveals something to us, it's by His Spirit. It's not just in written word. It's not just, you know, through mental ascent. It's by the Spirit. And the only way we can connect to God is not by our desperate prayers, not by our desperate pleading, but by coming to Him by the Spirit and saying, Lord, not just infiltrate my mind, but I open myself up to Your Holy Spirit. Bring revelation to my life. And church, when you do that, you will forever be changed. Those mental blocks that you couldn't get past for so many years, go by the wayside. The Bible says all things will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. All our mental ascent, all our doctrinal creeds, all of those things will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. You know why? Because nothing can raise its head up higher than the Son of God, the risen Lord. Amen? So I'll stand. Could you come? Some of you here today may not even have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe you're not a Christian. Some people say that they're not going to beg. Listen to me. I'm a beggar. And the reason why is because I have tasted and I have seen that this Jesus whom the Scripture talks about is really true. This Scripture, this Jesus that the Scripture is talking about, that took away the sins of the world, he's real. He's alive. It didn't end when He was in the grave. It only was just beginning. He came up out of the grave and he freed us all from the law of sin and death. No longer do we have to be satisfied with just mental ascent any longer. But by the Spirit of God, we can be free in Him. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. I want to encourage you today. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to get to know Him today. He's real. He's alive. Well, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. You haven't seen him. You haven't touched him. You haven't heard his voice. Yes, I have. When I called out on his name, and I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come in my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you will do what you said you were going to do. And he came in and he touched my life. And I heard his voice for the first time, not with my physical ears, but with my spirit. This past July makes 20 years I've been serving the Lord. 20 years. Have I had my doubts? You better believe it. Have I had my struggles? Absolutely. Have I failed the Lord? You better believe it. But at the end of the day, I chose Christ. Chose Christ over my weakness and my pain. I chose Christ over my mess, over my junk. And he truly became Lord of my life. And now, not only Lord of my life, but he's the chief priest of my life. He now sits at the right hand. Picture this, church. Picture this in your mind. Close your eyes. Picture this. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he lives to give intercession for me. He lives to give intercession for you. Don't think and buy into the lie of the devil for 1 second that when you pray that God doesn't hear you. He hears your cries. The Bible says he has your tears bottled up in heaven. That's crazy. Why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense, because he is so thoroughly in tune with you that even your tears he remembers. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come to the altar today. Come, I want to pray for you. There's no shame at the altar. The only shame would be if you choose to stay in your sin. If you choose to stay just like you are, because there's so much more for your life. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy endures forever. Come and taste and see. I beg you today, come to know Jesus. If that's you, come. I want to pray. You can be a child of God instantaneously. The Bible says if we confess our sins with our mouth and believe in our heart, you see, there's that mental ascension again. It doesn't just stop in confessing with our mouth. It combines the two, the mental ascent and the spirit. It says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the grave, then you will be saved. It's that simple. Today I implore you, I beg you, come to know the Lord today. If you say, Pastor, I've been struggling and I've been trying to rationalize this thing with my mind, and I think that's where I've been entrapped. But I haven't truly called out to the Lord by the Spirit, with my spirit. If you need prayer today, I want you to come. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Don't stay where you are. If you need prayer, you come to the altar right now, because I want to pray for you. I want you to know that the Lord is in the house. The Holy Spirit is here. He is mighty to save. Come this morning. Hallelujah. If you feel comfortable, just raise your arms. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful goodness. We thank you for your wonderful mercy. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we don't come before you with just mental assent. Dana, would you come and pray? Lord, we don't come with just mental assent today, but we come by the Spirit, Lord. We come because by the Spirit, because your word declares that you are Spirit. You are the Spirit of truth, And Lord, we tap into that spirit of truth, and not with just our mind, but with our spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you would transform us. Bring revelation to our lives today. I don't want to know you any longer just religiously. I don't want to no longer just know you in my doctrinal bias. Father, I ask that you bring revelation to my life today. I open up my heart and my spirit to you, Lord. I know you mentally. I know the wonderful stories. I've read them 1,000 times, but today, Lord, I come to you in spirit and in truth, and I ask that you bring revelation to me. Those things that I haven't been able to get past, because of some mental ascent, I can't work it out in my brain. I can't rationalize it. Lord, I choose today to put that aside. And Lord, bring revelation to my spirit today. Be real. Be revelation to me today. That should be all of our prayers. That should be all of us. Every one of us in the house should be praying that prayer. Lord, that I may know you in spirit and in truth, that I may worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. Father, today I choose to release my bias. I choose to release my weak arguments. And I just want you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. It's for some of us in this room, it may have been a long time since we made that statement. I just want you, Jesus. That's it. I just want you. If you want to come around this altar and pray, let's do that. You don't have to be expedient. If you want to pray, pray. Father, we make time for you. We make time for you today, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. Can we just spend a few minutes? If you want to kneel and pray, come on. Let's pray. Spend some time around the presence of the Lord this morning. Spend time around the throne of grace. Hallelujah to your name. Just for a few minutes. Lord, we love you. I thank you for bringing revelation to my life. Continue to challenge me, Lord. Continue to chafe me, Lord. Continue to bring revelation. Continue to bring healing. Challenge my thinking, Lord. Challenge my theology. Because, Lord, if my theology doesn't match up to the revelation of your word, then I release it. And I only want you. I only want you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are wonderful. You are mighty to save. Glory and honor, praise be unto your holy name forever and ever and ever and ever. I love you, Lord. There is none like you. Truly, truly, none like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to listen from Dean here. He has something that he felt like the Lord wanted to share, so go ahead.
While we were just praying, I just saw an empty room, and it was kind of dark and dingy, and there was just a single wooden chair in the middle of the room, and there was nothing. It was just an empty place. And I saw a light at the door, and I saw Jesus walk through, and he sat in that chair. And that chair became a golden throne, and that room filled with light and filled with love, and it became beautiful inside. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for someone here. He wants you to let him come in and sit in that chair. Then he's in charge. You give your life to him, and then that's what your insides will be like. It'll be a beautiful throne room. And God wants that for you. He wants his love to fill you. He wants his light to fill you. If there's somebody here that feels that, just say, yes, Jesus, come.
Amen. Let's do this. Let's all stand back up, and we're gonna pray, and I want to do this. Because I truly believe that there's somebody here today that needs to know the Lord. So I want us to do this. Let's pray together. And I want you to pray after me, okay? Let's just bow our heads. Pray this. Father, I don't know everything about you. And if the truth be told, a lot of it confuses me. But this morning I've heard your voice in a way that I've never heard it before. And it makes sense to me. And I ask today that you would be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Strengthen me to serve you. Not with just my mind, but with my spirit as well. I choose today, on my own free will, to follow you all the days of my life, to consider your ways my ways. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that, the Bible says that you're a child of God. You're born again. And if you prayed that and you meant it and you're not a believer, I want you after service to find me, okay, and talk with me. I'll stay here, but I want you to come and talk with me, because I want to share some more with you. Just take a second. But let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this service. My Lord, you are wonderful. Thank you for leading me through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak your word today. I thank you, Father, that you are here and you've touched lives. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless our efforts this week as we minister to kids, as we make preparations today, as we transform this sanctuary into Adventure Week. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our hands and the labor. God, that you would bless our mouths and help us to love children, Lord. Help us to, just like our catchphrase says here at this church, loving people. Lord, we want to love kids. And we ask, Father, that you would prepare those young hearts to receive your word. And I pray, Lord, not only that it transforms their life, but it in turn transforms their moms and their dads. Because, Lord, we're after eternal fruit here. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us fruit that lasts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you guys for coming. And we're gonna get to work just here in a little bit. If you want to stay and help, we would love for you to do that. If you only have time during the week to stop by for a few minutes, stop by for a few minutes and talk and chat and see what's going on, because it's going to be so much fun. And I'd hate for you to miss it, all right? God bless you. Love you.